Hey girl, welcome to Christian Girls Pop. My name is Stephanie Bright and I'm the founder of this girls group as well as your host for the podcast. Around here, we are all about purpose, obedience, and prayer. That's what makes us pop. You're guaranteed to laugh, cry, learn, grow, and most importantly, become more like Jesus. We're going to rock this thing out and we're going to have fun doing it. You ready? Let's go. Hey girl, and welcome back to another episode of Christian Girls Pop. We are in week 51 of our Bible reading plan. So close to the end of the Bible reading plan. This is crazy. Can't believe it's happening. Week 51, we are talking about the God who gives us warning. And we know that that comes a lot of times through prophecy. God doesn't just show up and start blowing stuff up. He gives us warning. He doesn't just start rearranging things in our lives. He gives us warning. He gives us a heads up. Whether we listen, that's on us. But God does his part and he lets us know what's coming. So we're going to see that here as we read through Isaiah and Revelation. Two big books that refer to the end time prophecies. Two big books that a lot of people stay away from because they don't understand it. I got you. We're going to break this thing down. We're going to go through it. It's going to be great. But before we go into the teaching, quick reminder, if you have not already, make sure you get your copy of the ebook Scripture Made Simple. It's available on our website, christiangirlspop.com. This helps you to be able to understand the Bible. We're using the same exact plan that I used on the podcast. You have all of my notes. There's challenges, prayers, reminders, devotionals, verses of the day, a whole bunch of stuff to help you really understand God's word. So I got it for you. It's all broken down. It's all there. So I would love for you to go check that out. Scripture Made Simple. So I encourage you to get your copy, Scripture Made Simple. It's available on the website. I'd love for you to check that out. Also, make sure you sign up for our newsletter. Great way to keep up to date with everything that we have going on, especially all the stuff from 2023. It's about to be good, so I want you to be in the loop for everything. Now, before we get into this week's teaching, let's pray. God, thank you so much that you care for us. I thank you that you see us, you know us, you're looking out on our behalf. And so, God, I thank you for what you're doing in this time. I thank you that you just go before us and you prepare the way, and we get glimpses of it through prophecy, through messages that you deliver to us. So I thank you for that. I thank you for your word that is the ultimate guide for us. And I thank you that you are putting all the pieces in place and we can trust you. I pray that this week as we're reading that we put aside any maybe pre-existing fear towards certain books of the Bible. I pray that we're able to read it with an open heart, open mind, and really be able to listen and learn from what you have for us. So we thank you, we love you, we praise you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so for week 51, like I said, we're going to be talking about the God who gives us warning. So for week 51, we're going through day 352 through day 358. And for day 352, which is December 18th, the reading is Isaiah chapter 22 through 24 and Revelation chapter 9. In Isaiah chapter 22, we read of the prophecy of the fall of Jerusalem and Shebna. So this prophecy can entail or prophesy to the things that happened, several things that happened to Jerusalem. It can include when the Assyrians invaded them, when the Babylonians invaded them, or even when the Romans invaded them, which was way like in the New Testament. So it can encompass all of those different events. Prophecy, like I said, that judgment is coming. They're not looking to God. They're trying to do everything themselves. They're trusting in the work of their own hands. And God is telling them that he's no longer protecting them from danger. In Isaiah chapter 23, we're reading of the prophecy of the fall of Tyre. And Tyre was a very popular area for trading. That's where the ships would dock. So there's a lot of wealth. There's a lot of income in this area. They were super prosperous. But God was letting it be known that God had assigned destruction because of their pride and that they would be described. He no longer is holding back judgment on them. He's no longer giving them time to get themselves together. He's given them plenty of warning. And now that judgment comes. And if we read in Ezekiel chapter 28, we actually read of the prophecy to the king of Tyre. And so this prophecy was fulfilled years later. They were desolate for 70 years. They were destroyed, all this stuff. But this is just letting us know that God does come on his word. And one thing I wanted to just pause and talk about here is the fact that as we're reading through these different prophecies, we definitely can apply ourselves into these stories, into these prophecies, into the those who are being prophesied judgment on. Because we do need to be reminded that God does send warning in our own lives. But after a while, if we are continuing to disobey, to be unrepentant, to keep living a life that's not pleasing to him, judgment does come. And, you know, like the things of this world can only please us for so long. The schemes of the enemy can only prosper for so long. Things that we're doing that are outside of God, they can only last so long before God sends judgment. And so I want to encourage us to live obedient to what God is telling us, to heed to the judgment, to the warnings that he sends, because it's not a joke, it's not a game, it's not something that he just had time on his hands and wanted to just play around with. These are things that will happen in our lives. I've shared this in regards to my story of singleness, but there was a time when God sent a prophet to deliver a message to me about a relationship that I needed to leave, and I knew that it was for me. I disobeyed, and I can really just see how things changed from that moment on when I was disobedient and didn't listen to God. Y'all, things went downhill. They went so downhill. And so with that, I can just let you know that, hey, what God says really does come to pass. Like, y'all, don't be playing around with this stuff. Like, God's word will come to pass. We will see his promises fulfilled, whether it's promise of blessing or promise of judgment. When he gives us warning, we need to listen. We have to listen. And so if you know that there's things that God is asking of you to do, that he's already commanded you, that he's already instructed you about, y'all, go be obedient to that thing. Don't be out here thinking you're gonna get away with it, and because just like Israel and everybody else, you will not be able to escape the judgment that God sends. Not to scare you, but to let you know, hey sis, this don't be crazy out here. God will snatch you up, girl. Anyways, moving on to Isaiah chapter 24, we read of how God will judge the whole earth. And so the near term is referring to the judgment of the Syrians, the Babylonians, and the Romans. But then in far term, it's referring to the end times as well. Remember, we're going through judgment as we're reading through Revelation. And so that's very congruent here. In Isaiah chapter 24, we're reading how no one will be exempt, all will be judged, and God judges our sin. So now if we go over to Revelation chapter 9, in this chapter, we're reading about the fifth and sixth trumpet that sound out. So remember, in Revelation chapter 8, we read of how the seventh seal brought the seven trumpets. So now we're going through the seven trumpets, and the fifth and sixth one reveal more destruction. So in verses 1 through 12, we read of the fifth trumpet, and that is when the locust will come on the earth, and the people won't be able to escape it. And these locusts sound disgusting and very, like, supernatural, creepy, crawly. It sounds so bad. One thing to note, in chapter 9, it mentions that the last three trumpets to sound are known as the three woes. And so remember, the woes is like, woe is me, the curses that will come, the destruction that's coming. And so that's just something to take note of here. In verse 1 of chapter 9, when it talks about the star, which is also referred to as him, some believe that this is Satan. Some believe that this is just an angel. We don't know. And that's, I guess the beauty of Revelation is that there is still a mystery. We don't have it all figured out. To some people, that may be frustrating because we want to have it all figured out. But I think it really allows us to understand that God is the one who fully is in control and has the ultimate power. And so we're not meant to know everything or understand everything. Everything will be revealed in time. In verse 11 of chapter 9, we read of Apollyon, which means destroyer. He's a king over the locust. Once again, some people believe that this is Satan. Most scholars believe that this is not Satan, but instead a high-ranking, like, demonic angel that works for Satan. So basically, like, one of Satan's little elves or spawns. He's like a high-ranking supernatural being that works for Satan. In verses 14 through 19, we read of the sixth trumpet, and this is when one-third of mankind will be killed. That is when we read of the four angels and the cavalry of horses. And so that gives us the fifth and sixth trumpet. So we have one more trumpet left to sound. For day 353, which is December 19th, we're reading Isaiah chapter 25 through 28 and Revelation chapter 10. In Isaiah chapter 25, we read of the song of praise to God. In this, there's a prophecy that God will be exalted and feared, and that he will defeat death, that he will be savior, very congruent with what we're reading in Revelation, because we're reading the end times. So we're seeing a lot of congruency here within the scriptures. In Isaiah chapter 26, we read of the song of thanksgiving for salvation and the song of victory. This is the prophecy declaring that peace will come. And just notice how, you know, there will be a time when they turn to God. We read of how the wicked will be handled. And a lot of this was referring to the end times, specifically during the tribulation period. For chapter 27, we read of how Israel will thrive, and there will be how the darkness and evil, or the enemies, are overtaken. And so we're reading about how God will conquer darkness and evil. They will be thriving. There will be a day when they will worship the Lord in Jerusalem. God will forgive their, and he's letting them know, I will forgive your sin if you just get rid of idolatry. So we're seeing some far-term fulfillment, but also some near-term prophecy and warning as well. And so some of this is fulfilled when they get to return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity. But obviously end times is the ultimate fulfillment of all these things. So remember, for the most part, with these prophecies that we're reading here in Isaiah, they have more of a near term fulfillment. So they're fulfilled like within the next couple hundred years or so after the prophecy. But there's also the ultimate end times, where majority of the Bible will be, the prophecies that are in the Bible will be fulfilled to some degree. So always have that end time in mind as you're reading these prophecies. There are certain things that are fulfilled, but always be looking ahead to the end times vision as well. In Isaiah chapter 28, we read of the judgment of Ephraim. And we also read of a warning to Jerusalem. And we also speak a little bit about the prophecy of the cornerstone, which is Jesus. So from chapters 28 through 35, we're reading of prophecies of basically the woe on Israel, judgment that's coming to them. So in verses 1 through 6, we read of the judgment of Ephraim. They're prideful, and God is going to send the Assyrians to be the ones to destroy them. He's given them a heads up. Like I said, he's given them plenty of warning. In verses 14 and 15, there's some interesting things to look at here. So we're talking about the pact or the covenant. So the near term, you know, Judah makes a pact with Assyria for protection. Remember, God doesn't like that because they're trusting in man instead of trusting in him. The far term fulfillment, though, is you can read about this in Daniel chapter 9. It's when Antichrist will make a covenant. He basically makes a covenant of peace with Israel. That doesn't mean that he's a good guy because he makes this covenant of peace, but this is part of the prophecies that will be fulfilled, is that he will make a quote-unquote covenant of peace with Israel, and that will kind of be like his way in. We also read about the cornerstone, like I said, that's Jesus, prophesied several times throughout scripture in Psalm, Matthew, Acts, Romans, Ephesians, 1 Peter. Quite a few prophecies or scriptures about Jesus being the cornerstone. And we read about how God will judge, but after the judgment, he will repair and restore, which we've read about several times through the prophecies. In Revelation chapter 10, we read that the angel of the Lord makes an announcement about God's wrath. So once again, there's a little bit of a break in between the 6th and the 7th. We had a break between the 6th and the 7th seal being opened, and now we have a break between the 6th and 7th trumpet being sounded. So this angel is not Jesus, but he has attributes similar to Jesus, and he's given the warning that there will no longer be a delay on God's judgment, but that he will bring that wrath that he's been prophesying about for so long. And this is it's literally an announcement like, hey, God's wrath is about to go down. Like, it's about to get real, even though it's already been real because of all the other stuff that already happened with all the seals being opened and the 6 trumpets being opened. But now it's a further announcement that like, hey, it's about to get real in this place. Moving on to day 354, which is December 20th. The reading is Isaiah chapter 29 through 31 and Revelation chapter 11. In Isaiah chapter 29, we read of the pending judgment or destruction of Jerusalem and how the Jews are blind, but we also read about the hope to come. And so we see that the Jews are blinded concerning their deliverance. We also read of the woe to those who have flipped things upside down and have not been living according to God's commands. Chapter 29, verse 17 of Isaiah is a very important scripture, as it talks about the Jews being blinded. This is also where we read of how the Gentiles were grafted in. And so essentially saying the Jews are the ones that rejected God. God allowed for his Gentiles to be saved as well. Gentiles referring to us, anybody that's not a Jew. And this is very important because this is letting us know that it's not just for the Jews. The gospel, you know, Jesus coming and just God's plan overall is not just for one group. It's for us all. There's also the hope in the end of this, towards the end of this chapter, that Israel will once again revere God and honor God, which is, they need it because Lord, they've been out here crazy. This also just gives us hope too, as we're reading this stuff. Like, I know that we've applied a lot of it to ourselves regarding judgment, but there's also the hope that, if we do turn to God, that he does honor that he does notice these things. And even for maybe some of us in our lives, we know people that aren't living according to God, and we've been praying for them to get themselves together. Just take heart in knowing that God, you know, can continue to try to get their attention, and there is and just pray in faith, believing that one day they will revere God and honor him and acknowledge him as well and live for him. In Isaiah chapter 30, we read of the judgment for alliance with Egypt. We read of judgment for their alliance with Egypt, and then we also read of the blessings and future restoration. So remember, God doesn't like the fact that they're making alliances, they're making pacts or covenants with other nations to try to get security instead of just going to God himself. And so they're being judged for those things. God is letting them know that it will all come crashing down. Anything that they've put their hope in besides God will be destroyed. We still see the heart and mercy of God. We still see his heart towards them, even in their disobedience. We also read about the fact that one day they will see the Messiah and they won't be blinded to it, and that they will get rid of idolatry. We do also read that God will also destroy Israel. God will also destroy Assyria as well. In chapter 31, we read of the reliance, how the reliance on Egypt is useless and how the Assyrians will be destroyed. So once again, God is letting them know, y'all are out here foolish. You look foolish. You look dumb. Like, you're trying to make covenant pacts with these other countries. When you're making these alliances, they're going to fail you. And he's letting them know, everybody else will fail you but me. So you might as well put your trust in me. And y'all, that is a word for somebody on today. Don't be out here trying to put your hope in everything else. Everything else will fail you. I literally promise it will fail you to some degree somehow, but God will never fail. We also read that God will deliver Jerusalem, and there's just the urge for them to, the call for them to repent and turn to him. He's trying to get their attention over and over and over again. Remember, we're talking about how he's the God who gives us warning, and we definitely see that here in scripture. So in Revelation chapter 11, we read of the two witnesses or prophets of God, and we read of the power that they have, their death, resurrection, and ascension. And we also read about the seventh trumpet being sounded. So for Revelation chapter 11, it's going to be important for us to actually go back in time, back in scripture to Zechariah chapter 4 in order to understand this vision. So remember, Zechariah was one of the prophets that God used, and Zechariah had very a lot of imagery in his visions, and his prophecy was all based on visions. And so he had a vision of the two anointed ones, or the prophecy of the two anointed ones, if we look at Zechariah chapter 4. And this just helps us to understand in greater context of what we're reading here in Revelation chapter 11. So John is seeing, so if you look at verse 2 of Revelation chapter 11, it talks about 42 months. That's equal to 3.5 years, which leads us right up into the midpoint of the tribulation. Remember, there's 7 years total. Scholars are actually unsure about who these two prophets are or who these witnesses are, but they do have powers. And interestingly enough, if you look at the powers that they have, these powers are things that are familiar to the Jews based on the history that they have, with the different plagues and stuff. If you go all the way back to Exodus, these are the similar plagues that we're seeing here. And so God is using them to help turn the Jews from their unbelief to believe in God. In verse 7 of Revelation chapter 11, that beast is referred to as is actually the Antichrist. And so God is using them still warning as a warning, as a witness, and doing anything he can to, like we said, to give us that warning, to give that warning. Now in verse 15 of Revelation chapter 11, we read about how the seventh trumpet is sounded, and this proclaims the Lord and his, the kingdom that is to come. We see that there's a time that comes for God to destroy that those that are against him. But this seventh trumpet proclaims that Christ will have a kingdom. And it says that he will reign forever and ever and ever. So we're reading about this ultimate reign that we'll see here, this everlasting reign. So that's what we read for day 354. For day 355, which is December 21st, the reading is Isaiah chapter 32 through 35 and Revelation chapter 12. In Isaiah chapter 32, we read about how Israel will be delivered and we read of the promise of peace. So in the first verse of chapter 32, we read about a just king. So the near term with that is that Hezekiah, he will be the good king. He's going to come and kind of put things back in order. We read about him in other books, but the far term fulfillment is the messianic reign of Christ. So when Messiah will reign, when Christ will reign. So we read about that in Isaiah chapter 32, verses 2 and 3, about how when Christ will reign, things will realign, there will be order, things will be as it should be. We read about the prophecy of how the disaster is head until the Spirit comes and is poured out. We also read of the promise of peace to come, as well as the destruction of Assyria. So some of the prophecies and things that we're reading here are repetitive, but this is, you know, God is trying to do anything he can to get their attention. In Isaiah 33, we read of the prayer for help and how God will deliver Zion and Jerusalem. And it does bring some hope in knowing that the Assyrians will destroy, but that God will still protect them. And this gives hope for sure. In chapter 34 of Isaiah, we read of the judgment of Edom. Remember, they're long-term enemies of Israel, and they are totally destroyed, uninhabited. The wild animals are taking over. God has pours out his judgment on them. And like I said, they've been long-term enemies of Israel. They even helped Nebuchadnezzar destroy Jerusalem. And so God has it out for them for sure. We also read are encouraged or reassured in Isaiah 34:16 that these prophecies will occur, that things that God says will come to pass for sure. And in Isaiah 35, we read about the future glory or blessing in Zion. And this chapter brings hope, knowing that it won't just be destruction, but that there is such a beautiful point of restoration that will occur as well. In Revelation chapter 12, we read of the vision of the woman who gives birth. And we read about how Satan is cast down. There's a war against the dragon and the persecution of Israel by Satan. So this dragon that we're reading about in chapter 12 is Satan. Daniel actually saw a beast when he was having his prophetic visions back in Daniel chapter 7. And in this vision that Daniel saw, he foresaw, or he could see in his vision about the final Gentile empire that will reign on the earth. And this vision showed that it was dominated by Satan. And so this, what we're seeing here in Revelation is going along with that. And so Satan obviously wants to destroy Israel. Those are God's chosen people. And so we read about the war between Michael and his angels versus Satan and his angels. And they lose. Satan tries to attack Israel, but they are protected by God. Remember, very congruent with what we just read in Isaiah chapter 33 about how God will protect Zion. So that we see that congruency that's there. So we read about how the persecution on Israel begins and Satan sends multiple attacks to Israel, but he can't win. And so instead, he tries to go and make an attack on the remnant of Israel. So Satan's just out here trying to do anything he can to take God's people away. And We've seen how the enemy has tried to attack our own lives and bring us down. And clearly he tries anything he can. For day 356, which is December 22nd, the reading is Isaiah chapter 36 through 38 and Revelation chapter 13. In Isaiah chapter 36, we read of Sennacherib's threats to Jerusalem. What a name. That's just for starters, what a name. But anyways, he sends threats to Jerusalem. You can go back to 2 Kings chapter 18 through 20 and actually read about the same account. It's the same events happening. And so basically he's saying and taunting them, saying that God's not going to deliver them and that like he's not going to come through. And this guy's super prideful. He's very arrogant. And so he like tried, you know, he kind of puts them in distress with the taunts that he's saying. But if we keep reading in chapter 37, Isaiah prophesies about the deliverance from Sennacherib. We also still read about more threats. Hezekiah prays and then Isaiah delivers this prophecy. And so Hezekiah prays for God to save them. He's like, Lord, you got to do something. So Isaiah actually comes and delivers this prophecy that the Sennacherib will fall, and God assures that he will deliver and fight for them. And so the Assyrians are killed, and then Sennacherib is killed too, period. All in one chapter. God came through once again. So basically letting us know the enemy can't win. The enemy can't win. Obviously very congruent with what we're reading here in Revelation as we discuss and as we see of how the enemy can't win in the end either. That he doesn't win. In Isaiah chapter 38, we read about Hezekiah praying and his life is extended. So Hezekiah gets sick, but God hears Hezekiah's prayers and he adds years onto his life. Which is just a really cool thing. It just shows that God does honor us and he honors our prayers. Now, in Revelation chapter 13, we're reading about the beast of the sea and the beast of the earth. Those are symbolic for the Antichrist and the false prophet. So, let's talk about this some. So, Antichrist, remember, the villain of the story. He tries to seem like the good guy, but he's really the bad guy. And he's really against Christ and wants to do anything he can to keep God's people away from, to keep people away from Christ, right? And he wants to do anything he can to just like destroy Christ, which he can't, but good try, you know? So from verses 1 through 10 of Revelation chapter 13, those verses are about the Antichrist. So Satan will use the Antichrist as a means to wage war on Israel. Now in verses 11 through 18, we read about the false prophet. So the false prophet is the one that Satan will use to promote the worship of the Antichrist, okay? So let's break it down in a little bit more relatable way. So what we have is the Antichrist first. The Antichrist is the villain of the story, right? Well, Satan is the ultimate villain, but he has like spawns or whatever, right? So, you know, his little people that work for him. Antichrist is one of them. So Satan uses the Antichrist to wage war on Israel. So the villain, the bad guy, he comes into the town and he's trying to blow it up, right? So the Antichrist has a sidekick. And the sidekick, say he has like a normal day job, so no one assumes anything of him. He's like a normal person within society. He's like super, you know, just super run-of-the-mill kind of guy, so no one suspects anything of him. If anything, he seems like a really good citizen that everyone just still wants to hang out with and wants to be around. So because he seems like such a great guy, everyone believes what he says. And so he comes into town and he speaks well of the villain. So when he's in the town, no one knows that they're working together. But the villain uses the sidekick as a means to get more people to come to him. So now the false prophet or the sidekick is going around like, hey, have y'all tried out, you know, have y'all made friends with the villain? He's a really cool guy, blah, blah, blah. So Satan is using both of them to try to deceive the people. And this is his means of attack or against Israel. So I hope that explained things a little bit better. And the Antichrist is going to be the one who leads the final Gentile empire. Like I mentioned, that'll be the final empire here on earth. The final government, I guess you can say. The Antichrist, as we read in this chapter, is actually allowed to blaspheme God for 42 months, which is 3.5 years. Which is, this is within the Great Tribulation now. That's what we're reading. Which is the latter half of the tribulation. It's the other half, the next 3.5 years of the total 7 years that we're seeing. And the Antichrist is allowed to make war with the saints. Like, it's allowed. He doesn't win in the end, but God does allow that. It's part of the prophecy that has to be fulfilled. And so basically everybody besides the believers, they're going to be worshiping this guy. They're going to be worshiping Satan, essentially. And the false prophet is doing his job and getting everyone to perform this false worship. This is the first time we actually begin to see the mark of the beast here in Revelation chapter 13, verse 16. For day 357, which is December 23rd, the reading is Isaiah chapter 39 through 41 and Revelation chapter 14. So one thing to note here is that in Isaiah, starting in verses 40 all the way through the end of the book, which is chapter 66, we will read of messages of comfort. So Isaiah's prophesied judgment and all this other stuff, but now God is using Isaiah to deliver messages of comfort. But in chapter 39, we're not quite there yet. There's a prophecy of Babylon taking Hezekiah's possessions, like from the temple and stuff, which is fulfilled, which definitely is fulfilled. And we read that when we were reading of the captivity of the Israelites as Babylonian took them captive. In chapter 40, now we start the comforting messages. So in chapter 40, we read of the comfort to God's people and how there's no one like the Lord. So the near-term comfort is when they return from exile and, you know, King Cyrus allows them to go back into Jerusalem. But the far-term is when Jesus comes again and, the return of the Messiah. So we're really reading about how God is just incomparable. No one can compare with, like, you know, there's no one like him. And we just read of the beauty and majesty of who he is and his strength and his power. In chapter 41, we read about how God's people are encouraged and idols and false gods are challenged. So God challenges these idols, these pagan gods. He lets them know, y'all are not it. I'm the only true God. You have so many weaknesses and flaws, like you can't be God. And one thing that he points out is how the false gods don't know the future. And he lets them know, like, y'all are useless, y'all are powerless. And we are reminded that there is no one but God. There is no other true God but the God that we serve. Now for Revelation chapter 14, we're reading about Jesus, judgment and wrath, and then the perseverance or the preservation of the saints. So a lot of like, what are you talking about? All right, so let's get into it. So in verse 1 of chapter 14, that lamb is referring to Jesus. Notice we see that 144,000 number again. That's the same as what we just read in chapter 7. Real quick, when it's referring to Zion, some scholars believe that that's a heavenly Mount Zion. Others and most believe that it's actually just referring to the Mount Zion here on earth. There is a little bit of debate there. In verses 2 through 3, we're reading about those who are saved after the rapture. So those that are saved during the tribulation period. And one thing to note, I forgot to mention it, in verse 1 of Revelation chapter 4, this, when it's referring to the Mount Zion, this is at the end of the tribulation when the kingdom is established. So we read of a couple angels here. One of the angels has a gospel. Another angel damns those who are worshiping the beast, the ones who have the mark of the beast. So we're seeing some of these angels here and the messages that they're delivering. In verse 14 of Revelation chapter 14, John sees Jesus. When he talks about like a son of man, he's referring to Jesus. And we read about the reaping of the earth that Jesus will do. That's the wrath of God being poured out, the cleansing, the purification that happens. We read about how the unrighteous of Israel will receive the wrath of God. If you look at verses 18 through 20, where it talks about the grapes, that's referring to Israel. And specifically the unrighteous part of Israel, those who will receive the wrath of God. So we're seeing Jesus, but we're also seeing a lot of the judgment that occurs as well. For the last day of the week, for week 51, we're going through day 358, which is December 24th. The reading is Isaiah chapter 42 through 44 and Revelation chapter 15. In Isaiah chapter 42, we read of the servant of the Lord, praise to the Lord, and how God will judge Israel for their sin and disobedience. Mostly a comforting message. For the servant of the Lord, some scholars do believe that this is referring to like the faithful part of Israel, but that doesn't hold up necessarily because it says that the servant of the Lord serves Israel. So it's like, how can Israel serve Israel, you know? So most scholars believe that when it's referring to the servant of the Lord, it's referring to Messiah. So that's a messianic prophecy. And so I do just want to say real quick, as I'm talking about different verses in scripture that are debated, this does not discredit the Bible or make it any less true. It just simply means that there's somewhat of a mystery to certain verses that we have yet to discover. And I'm totally okay with not knowing all the things that God has in scripture. Just because he's given it to us as a guide and a resource does not mean that we all of a sudden have ultimate knowledge to be able to understand every single thing. And it does leave us a little bit of the part that we don't understand, it allows us to seek the Lord more. It kindles that desire for us to just really submit ourselves before him, knowing that we don't know it all and that he does. And so that actually, you know, is some reassurance there. In Isaiah chapter 42, we read about how those who trust in idols will be put to shame. And, you know, God will send judgment for, God had to send judgment for their sin and their disobedience. In verse 43, we read about how God is Israel's redeemer. So the near-term fulfillment of them returning as part of the redemption, obviously, is when they return to Jerusalem after being in captivity. But the far-term fulfillment, it includes several things. You can go back in history to 1948 when there was a return of Israel into like their own land. There is also the Day of the Lord, which is part of the end-time fulfillment. So There's several returns for there's several I guess fulfillments of this prophetic return that we read about here in Isaiah chapter 43 verse 7. We also read of the promise of restoration in this chapter. We read about how God promises to intervene, and you know, Babylon is brought down, so God intervenes there. But God does take time, a quick second. He does take time to call them out on their sin and their disregard to him. So, like I said, majority of his messages are comforting, but God hasn't let up in the sense of like changing his mind on judging them for their sin. In Isaiah 44, we read of the promise of renewal or restoration in Israel. Idolatry, we read about how idolatry is in vain. Israel is not forgotten, and God urges them to return. So God promises restoration, and there's a promise of rebuilding and restoration to Jerusalem. God actually appoints Cyrus to help with this. Remember when he goes back and lets them back into Jerusalem? That was God's hand on bringing them back into this return that he keeps prophesying about. Obviously, like we know, the end times is the ultimate fulfillment, restoration, return, all that. It's all fulfilled in the end times. As I mentioned, God does take time to remind them of the fact that their idolatry is, in fact, in vain. And they need to make sure that they're worshiping him and him alone. Now let's go over to Revelation chapter 15. So now we'll read of the seven bowls, which refer to the preparation of the pouring out of the wrath of God. All right, so what we see here. So now that the seven seals, let's go back a little bit and just to kind of fill you in. So we have the seven seals, right? Seven seals were opened. The seventh seal led to the seven trumpets. The seven trumpets have now sounded out Christ. It's establishing Christ's kingdom that will be established. It's announcing that Christ's kingdom will be established. And so now we have seven bowls. So the Revelation chapter 15 is basically like preparation for the pouring out of the seven bowls, which is the final wrath of God. Like I said, I know we've had a lot of judgment here. But the seven angels have the last seven plagues. So these seven angels that will pour out these seven bowls, think about it. Like imagine the best way I kind of describe it is like, imagine like a science lab. And like each angel has a different test tube of like some random chemical that they're going to pour on some stuff and see if it blows up, like, and watch it blow up in different stages and deteriorate. Like, this is basically what's happening here. So this chapter is preparation for what we will read in the following week, what we will read in 16, which will be next week's reading, or as we read about the seven vials or the seven bowls of wrath being poured out. So that is the end of day 358, which sums up. And so that means that we've come to the end of week 51. And as I mentioned, the title of this week or the theme for this week was God Who Gives Us Warning. As we saw here through this week, there was a lot of warning, a lot of judgment coming on the earth. And we're really seeing that God is handling things. A lot of the things that he's prophesied from days of old are coming to pass here in Revelation. And so we're reminded that God keeps his word. That can be assuring and encouraging to us that God does keep his word. That also can be sobering to us that God does keep his word. So we need to get ourselves together. A lot of beautiful moments that we're seeing here. A lot of holy supernatural things that were occurring here. I hope that as you're reading and as you're listening along that you're beginning to understand a glimpse of what's happening. Like I said, Revelation is a very, very big, very deep book. Very mysterious book. A lot of people just stay away from it altogether because, like, I don't know what this stuff is saying. I hope you were able to get a little bit more clarity as we went through this audio. So thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode. I just want to encourage you, you know, if God has given warning in your own life, heed to that warning, heed to that command, listen, obey. It's not a coincidence why God is saying these things. What he says, what he pronounces, what he declares will come to pass. So we need to be obedient and listen to these warnings. I am a living witness that God will come through on his word. And if he's taking time to deliver messages and get your attention, please listen. I'm begging you, girl, please listen to what he has to say. Thanks so much for tuning in to this week's episode. If you haven't already, make sure you follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Christian Girls Pop. You can check out our website at ChristianGirlsPop.com, and you can check us out on YouTube at Christian Girls Pop. If you would like to donate to this ministry, you can donate on Venmo at Christian Girls Pop, on Cash App at $ChristianGirlsPop, and on PayPal using the email address cgpopdonate@gmail.com. cgpopdonate@gmail.com. Make sure you get your copy of the ebook Scripture Made Simple, available on our website at christiangirlspop.com, and we'll see you back next week. Thanks for listening, and as always, remember, Jesus already loves you so much. Don't you ever forget that.